Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much, Laura, for leading us there today. Good job. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 1 again this morning. Luke chapter 1. We have not been, as it were, taking a portion of Scripture and working our way down through it verse by verse. There are times when I like to just stand back and say, okay, Lord, we've known all this for how many years? We've heard it all before. We've seen each instance of the Christmas story. Now give us fresh eyes to be encouraged by new thoughts and new things that maybe I need at this time to be of encouragement. So a fresh look at the historical birth of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, reveals to us that along the way, there are many challenges in the Christmas story. And during our Advent lunches, we have been talking about the trouble with Christmas. And it is because along the way, there were many pitfalls that could be had. And yet the Christmas characters involved lived and acted out of a tremendous hope in God. And so last week we talked about this hope. And it's very important for us to understand that from a biblical point of view, we are not talking about some weak, apathetic, and sluggish wish in regard to God. But rather, we're talking about a favorable and a confident expectation that what God has said will come true. And so when you use the word hope in Scripture, it has to do with assurance. And it's a happy anticipation of good. Now let's just stop and think about this a little bit. And we have mentioned this thought before, but it is very important in terms of what I want to say today. Because when we think through what's happening in the Christmas story, what we want to understand is that our actions, the actions of the Christmas characters and our actions come about by a process. They don't just happen spontaneously and automatically. God always works in our lives and He starts in our minds. In other words, in all of our activities, some information, whether it's true or false, whether it's misleading or whether it's something we can really put confidence in, some information is fed to our mind. That information makes its way to our emotions. And so we talk about how we feel about what I just took into my brain. And in those emotions, they are the result of how I feel or value what I've just heard or taken in. Let me say this. You cannot always trust your emotions. Because how we feel about certain things could be that we're being led down a garden path and it feels good, but it may not be true at all, and it actually may be very dangerous. And so it's a good balance to have in terms of living for Jesus when you know that what's in your mind needs to be verified and it needs to be true. And then I feel the confidence and assurance about that that God would want me to have. But as truth goes here and makes it down to here, my heart, then ultimately it comes out in how I live. And so our actions are the result of determining something to be true and of benefit to my well-being. And that's the reason I'm acting it out. That's the reason I'm living this way, because this is really what I value. So when it comes to God's purpose, it is to feed our minds with truth that will be so appreciated that I actually believe it. And so I believe it to the extent that I live according to God's wisdom and God's word. So last time when we were together, We talked about the Christmas characters and the fact that they heard promises and they lived with a sense of anticipation that the Messiah would come. And so they lived waiting for the hope. And it was an assurance. It was a confidence. They knew this was going to come about. And what they discovered was the wait is now over. For centuries, the prophets have been telling them the king, the ruler, is going to come. And the Christmas characters were jolted by the fact that, oh, right now? And so the hope was coming to fulfillment. And that hope was rewarded because God gave his word, and now it would be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. The Christian church, those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, believe in this same hope, that the Messiah has come the first time in the birth of a person called Jesus Christ. So we talked last time about waiting. And sometimes we are in a place in our lives where we're waiting on God. He's given us promises. He's given us words that say that certain things will be true. But I don't see it yet. And yet we wait in the hope. And for the Christmas characters, they said, our hope has come. These are being fulfilled. And so the songs of Zechariah and of Mary just overflowing. And we're going to look at this in a few moments. But today we want to talk about the fact that this hope was something that they walked in. In other words, they lived with their minds preoccupied with this assurance that indeed God has fulfilled what he said he would, and he will continue to fulfill what he said he would. And so they walked through their broken world in all of its challenges, living with this hope, and they walk through. And I want to get to the point of saying that that so conditioned their minds and their hearts that this was not a sluggish, apathetic, oh, we've got to plod along here. This was a hope that was alive in them that helped them to plod intentionally and purposefully in the perfect will of God through every challenge that they had as they walked through the Christmas story. And this sets the premise that in our broken world too, with all of its challenges, when this hope is alive up here in our minds and right here in our hearts, that we're able to do the walkthrough in a broken world with a mentality that has the assurance and confidence that God is with me as I'm walking through. And we talked a few months ago about, you know, being alive on the inside. And this is what these Christmas characters were. They were alive on the inside because truth was in their mind. They valued it in their hearts. And it just came out in how they lived. So let's today talk about this walk. Let's say it this way. The presence of hope was in their mind. And so when the angel came to visit Zechariah and Mary and tell them that the fullness of all the ages had come and they were chosen to be a part of the great Christmas drama, let's say this, that they may have been shocked that an angel showed up and they may have been very surprised that the time is now. But what did not surprise them was the content of the message itself, that the coming Messiah spoken of centuries before was going to come in these moments. That news was old news. We know the Messiah is coming. We've been waiting for him. We've been longing for him. And so they knew the message because they had believed this from ages past. And even Mary and Joseph from a very young age would have been trained in their home or their Sunday school or junior church. And they would know that the great hope of all the Jewish nation was that this Messiah would come. And so every Israelite who truly believed and didn't become sluggish in their faith knew that this day was coming. Let's just flip briefly over to Romans chapter. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2. I just want to show you this here. Here's Paul speaking from a Jewish perspective, and he's really kind of trying to open the eyes of the Romans. But he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision, the sign of being a Jew? Much in every way. First of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God, the words of the prophets. If you just flip over to chapter 9, Paul expresses his tremendous burden for the Jews. Verse 1, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Now look here at all these privileges. Theirs is the adoption of sons that they heard about in the Old Testament. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. From them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. And so Paul is revealing to us that the Jewish people at the time of Jesus' birth, and then right through into Christian times, and Paul was around, they understood a truth that was alive in Zechariah and Mary when the angel showed up to tell them about John the Baptist and Jesus being born. This truth preoccupied their mind to such an extent that they just broke forth in song. And if we were to read down through like Mary's song here, and you pop down to like verse 50 in chapter 1, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has lifted up the humble. He has lifted the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And even if you flip over to about verse 68, here's Zechariah. Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us, and in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of the enemies and to enable us to serve without fear and in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. What we want to see is that this is the Jewish mindset. And so they weren't so surprised by the message as much as, oh, an angel just showed up in my face and said that right now, this hope is becoming fulfilled. And so they were in the middle of this walking in the will of God, and theirs was the scriptures, the promises, the truth, the hope. And all this came to memory when that angel said, now's the time. And so in our minds as well, this in a sense was not the beginning of the tremendous hope. That started way back when the prophets made their prophecy. This was the continuing. And now is the time for the fulfillment. And so if we're going to walk in the hope and the assurance of God doing what God does, we need to understand that this needs to be in our minds first. And then let me put it this way. The presence of hope was in the moment. Because now, over the next 9 months, Mary and Joseph and their family and their community and their church would have to do the walkthrough of this little one going through gestation and being born. And so in the moment, this hope that was in their mind became something that was going to be tremendously helpful in the walkthrough. It's interesting that God didn't overprotect Mary and Joseph. He didn't pamper them in their walk through this broken world. Apart from just the experiences of being pregnant, which those of us as men know very little about, they had to go through the shame of those days, as we've often talked about. They didn't understand every detail. And for instance, when the unforeseen census came up and then Herod slaughtering all the 2-year-old boys around Bethlehem, and to understand that this was just the beginning of the life of Jesus, this was not an easy road. And yet the presence of hope was in their minds and their hearts. God was with them. God was in control. God was going to bring about the coming of the Messiah in birth, exactly as he said, and they would be ones who would do the walkthrough while all this was evolving. I was thinking about this. I wonder if Joseph and Mary, even though they were in the middle of God's perfect will because the angel spoke and he verified again and again that he was with them, I wonder if they ever said why. And I wonder if they said, you know, we didn't ask for this. And this came completely out of the blue. I never thought I'd be here. And then when you take something like, well, this could not have come at a worse time that we would have to make this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. What is God doing here? And though they didn't see every detail, and then you get to Bethlehem, no room? What do you mean there's no room? I am walking in the will of God. His Messiah is in my womb, and you're telling me that there's no room? Go out back in some shed and birth my child? I wonder if they wrestled through some of the, is God really in control here? What is going on? Doesn't God know that I'm 9 months pregnant here and this donkey ain't too easy to ride on and this is a long journey? What did we say the other day? It was 157 kilometers, I think, and it was about 30 hours walk time. That's if you're a good walker. What do you do when you're 9 months pregnant? And do you get the drift? They had to walk with the hope in their minds and hearts, alive and well, but that hope was with them every step of the way, and they walked through each moment knowing this hope was alive, knowing that God was with them, that He would fulfill His will. But let us say that the presence of hope due to God's heart, God's purposes in their mind and heart, was not always understood. It was alive in them in the moment. And I believe, though they didn't know every detail, we need to understand that every Christ follower is not immune to challenges. And whether we talk about sickness among us, or cancer among us, or tragedy that happens in our church family, or in any Christ follower's life, we need to understand that we live in a broken world. That's what we're talking about. But in this broken world, in our minds and in our hearts, are the truths that God has shared with us that cause us to live in that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And that hope becomes a sustaining force as I do the walkthrough in a broken world. And I shared a while back that my brother-in-law shared with me, you know, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through. I can't avoid it. I can't deny it. I may be walking through, as the psalmist David, the valley of the shadow of death. And it's right there in the middle of that momentary, moment by moment, step by step walk through that we're able to say, you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I would suggest that while they waited for the hope, and it is coming, that they had to do the walk, and we need to do the walk too. And it's our minds fixed on what God has said, and as we walk in the moment, that we find that God is the one who will bring us through. Let's put it this way, and I shared this earlier this year. The fact is this: we live in a broken world, and we are going to walk through it. We have the issue of walking through it with God or without God. But we're going to walk, and with God or without God is our choice. And these characters chose to walk through knowing and trusting and believing God and being sustained by the hope that was in their hearts and in their minds. And so I would conclude by saying this, that the presence of this hope is our mainstay. And so as with them, so with every Christ follower, we have known God's provision, and we have seen God's presence, and we could talk about God's protection every step of the way. And we know these things to be true because the Scriptures, God's Word, is a record of documented evidence of God's track record where He has walked with His people through a broken world, and He kept hope in their minds and hearts alive, and that sustained them. And even if that hope was not brought to fulfillment while they lived on planet Earth, even when they died, they discovered the reward that God's promises are fulfilled. And I say that because can you imagine praying that God would deliver us out of Egypt for 430 years and we're still sitting here and it's only at year 278? Where is God? What's going on here? And all the centuries since it was prophesied that a virgin would give birth to a son and that he will be a ruler, they would be called Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, that was 7 centuries before right here. And that waiting time, and how many Jewish people died, but living according to the hope that God had planted in their hearts and in their minds, and they died without the Messiah showing up yet. But when they died, God fulfilled His promises because they were with Him and they knew the Messiah was coming. And even for us now, it's the issue of doing the walkthrough. And it becomes our mainstay that even if we in our broken world are touched by that brokenness in death or disease or tragedy or whatever, that is not the sustaining force in my life. The challenges are not the main thing. The main thing is this, that according to the Scriptures, I know and I appreciate the fact that Christ is my hope. And though they even slay me, says Job, I will praise Him. And so I would propose to us that the believer, we don't just wait in hope. And as we said last week, to delay something is not to deny it. God will come through in His time. But also in that walk through today, we need to grab a hold of the fact that the main thing is that the hope is alive in us. This we affirm, this we are confident in, this we live by, and though all hell break forth in our direction, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And this is our stance. And this is encouraging. This is what the Christmas characters knew. This is what kept them going to the point when next week we'll talk about the birth of the Messiah. May God help us to have a mindset and a heart attitude that trusts Him as we do the walk through. Our final piece of music today is one of the choruses, actually. It's got a few verses to it, taken from like, O Come All Ye Faithful, but it's entitled, O Come Let Us Adore Him. And we're going to stand and worship God for His faithfulness to us, as we've been reminded of. As I mentioned, you might want to check your mailboxes today. And if you don't have a mailbox yet, you still may want to check the table, see if there's a letter or a card there for you. And for those of you who are guests, we hope that you'll stay and have refreshments with us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes it just seems like we need to shake ourselves because we're focused on the brokenness of things around us and things in us. And sometimes when we focus on those things, it pulls us down and we don't experience what it means to be alive on the inside. And sometimes it's very difficult, and we need brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside us and hold us up when we don't have strength ourselves. But today, we pray that You'll renew in our hearts and our minds the tremendous hope or assurance of Your promises to us. They're indeed fulfilled in the Christmas story. And as we do the walkthrough of this coming week, we're not sure of every detail, but we need to be alive in the hope. Help us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.